Today. Ephesians chapter 1 is where we're at. Ephesians chapter 1. Today we'll look at relying on your resources. Several years ago, there was an elderly couple that was found dead in their apartment, and their autopsies revealed that they had both died of severe malnutrition. When the authorities searched their home, they found several paper bags filled with cash, some $40,000 in all. So how foolish it is to die of starvation when you have plenty of money to buy food. Back in 1916, there was a woman by the name of Hetty Green, and she died in 1916, and when she did, it was discovered that she had left an estate valued at $100 million. This is an enormous amount of money today, but 1916, that's a whole lot of money. And it was quite a bit of money to leave, but Hetty Green may have been wealthy, but she was known as America's greatest miser. She would often eat cold oatmeal because it was too costly to heat the water. Once, when her son suffered a severe leg injury, she spent so much time looking for a free clinic that they had to amputate his leg. She even hastened her own death by allowing herself to get worked up into a fit of rage over an argument about skim milk because it was cheaper than whole milk. Hetty Green was a woman who possessed great wealth, but she did not have the ability to tap into it. Now, the book of Ephesians was a book written to a people that were just like that. The letter was written sometime around 61 to 63 AD when Paul was imprisoned in Rome. And the city of Ephesus was located at the mouth of the Caistor River on the east side of the Aegean Sea. It was the capital city of the Roman province of Asia. It was a wealthy city known for its political and commercial and being an educational center. It was called the Queen City of Asia. It had a massive temple to Diana, and it was located there in Ephesus. It was even considered one of the seven wonders of the world at that time. And in Paul's day, this city boasted a population of 300,000 people. Yes, it was a city steeped in deep paganism, immorality, and wickedness. If you go back to Acts chapter 16 and verse 6, you'll find there that Paul was about to commence his second missionary journey, and he thought about going to Asia and specifically to Ephesus, but the Holy Spirit did not allow him to do that at that time. Sometime later, the gospel did make its way to Ephesus, probably taken there by Aquila and Priscilla, according to Acts chapter 18. But near the end of his second missionary journey, Paul finally made it to Ephesus, and he spent 3 years preaching the gospel there and helping this fledgling church get on its feet. Timothy followed Paul as the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Under Timothy, the church was plagued by false teaching. Remember the names Hymenaeus and Alexander? They were false teachers who stirred up trouble in the church at Ephesus. Church also had some problems with legalism, false doctrine, foolish arguments among its members. So here's a young church that has problems. They were like the elderly couple I was talking about a moment ago. They were like Hetty Green. They were rich in the things of God, but they did not know it. They didn't know it. And this book came to them, this letter written by Paul, came to them to let them know just what they had in the Lord Jesus Christ, who they were in Jesus, and how to spend what they possessed in Jesus. Now, it was about I think the last time we talked about that, we noted the book of Ephesians was written to teach all of us about who we are in Jesus Christ. I think we talked about that last time. And what we have because of our relationship with Him. And then how to use what He's given us for the glory of God. Now, someone has called Ephesus the believer's checkbook. You know, imagine having an account upon which you could write checks as often as you wish. Now, I know there are some people that think, well, I've got a checkbook and there's checks in it, so I must have money, right? Some people kind of act that way, and then they end up spending more than their account has. But, you know, sometimes we could have an, it would be amazing if we had an account where we could spend as much as we wanted to, right? Well, we do have an account that cannot be diminished. And if the book of Ephesians is the believer's checkbook, we have all kinds of things that we can have if we just knew it. Just notice for a little bit here, the riches of God's grace are talked about in the book of Ephesians. In verse, this book teaches us about what we have because of who we are in Jesus. It shows us how to spend what we've been given. This book is about riches, the riches of His grace. You see it down there in verse 7. In chapter 3, verse 8, you'll find the unsearchable riches of Christ. In chapter 3 and verse 16, you'll find the riches of His glory. And then this book is about the fullness we enjoy in Jesus. Again, in chapter 3 and verse 16, it talks about being filled with the fullness of Christ. Chapter 4, verse 13, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And of course, chapter 5, verse 18 says that we're not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. And so these riches and this fullness arise from, first of all, His grace. Chapter 1, verse 2 talks about that. Verse 6, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7 talks about the riches of His grace. And then in chapter 1, verse 2, it talks about His peace. We'll talk about that today. And verse 5 talks about His will. In verse 9, His pleasure and His purpose. In verse 12 and verse 14, you find there His glory. In verse 18, His calling. And then in verse 19, His power and His strength. Chapter 2, verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy for His great love wherein He hath loved us, His love. In chapter 2, verse 10, familiar verse. We often stop at verse 9, but we often also hear verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're His workmanship. In chapter 3, verse 16, we've mentioned that one already, but it talks about His Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 2, His offering and His sacrifice. Chapter 6, of course, is that wonderful chapter that has the armor of God. The armor, His armor. So we have these riches and these fullness. The fullness arise from all these things that Paul has given us. So we are rich beyond measure. Well, even if you look through the book, you'll find that riches is mentioned 5 times. Grace is mentioned 12 times. Glory is mentioned 8 times. Fullness or filled is mentioned 6 times. And then I've already mentioned how the words in Christ or in Him are so important in this book because it's mentioned 12 times. Now, the idea of in, with, or through Christ is found 30 times. So you see, this book is about the overwhelming, infinite wealth we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to talk about wealth and health and prosperity, that's where we should be talking about, you know. I mean, we have preachers today that say, well, you should be wealthy, you know. God wants you to be wealthy. God wants you to have riches. God wants you to have a big house. God wants you to have a big bank account. God wants you. No, we have riches in Christ that make us richer than all of that. Believers are amazingly rich because of our relationship with Jesus. And as Paul begins to write, his words are a vivid example of the fullness and the riches we can expect as we continue to study this book together. Now again, this afternoon, we're not going to spend a long time here, but I just want to, this time, I think I've got my notes right, so there are three things that I want to talk about. And the first one is the greeting of blessing. We're going to talk about the blessings, relying on our resources. And we have the greeting of blessing in verse 2. He says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see the fullness that Paul is describing here. Now, he's already mentioned his full authority of Jesus Christ and by the will of God in verse 1. And now he mentions the full designation for the believer. The full designation of the believer is to be saints and faithful. It's also in verse 1. Now he offers a word of full acknowledgement or greeting to the recipients of his letter. Paul extends a double blessing to his readers. Notice, first of all, he says grace to you. Paul greets them by saying grace to you. Now the word grace translates a word that means goodwill, loving kindness, or favor. And we use the word to speak of the Lord's work in saving us. We often think of Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved, right? We know that grace refers to the undeserved love and favor of God for the lost sinners. But in that day, it was a common greeting. You know, when we meet each other, we say, hello. Or we might even say, hello, how are you? Or we say, how's it going with you? Now, if we really meant that, we should be ready for them to tell us, right? Well, we might be there well if somebody told us everything that was going on in their life. So we don't really mean that, do we? Do we really mean hello? How are you? How's it going with you? I dare say that means very little or nothing most of the time. But you know, when people of this culture that we're talking about, Paul's day, when they met, they would say the word charis, charis, which is translated grace. That's the Hebrew or the Greek word for grace. In other words, when they met, they would say, I pray for the best God can offer you. Well, that'd be a lot better to say, how you doing? You know, how's it going with you? If we would learn to greet one another in that way, we would probably change the world. It would be an opportunity to acknowledge the grace of God that has bought us. It would be a prayer for God's grace to be upon those we meet. It could open a door of witness to them. Want to try that tomorrow? You see somebody? Just say, I pray the best God can offer you. See what kind of reaction you get. Well, Paul greets them and says, grace to you. Secondly, he says, peace. Now, this isn't the greeting of the 60s and the 70s where we'd say, peace, brother. You know, I grew up in that hippie generation. We had a lot of hippies on the campus I went to school at. And you know, that wasn't a Bible college. I was a state university. When I was at the state university, we had a lot of hippies, and they had a lot of those peace symbols, and they would use that for peace. Now, I always thought that meant victory, but they changed it to say peace. No, this is not that kind of peace. This is a genuine, authentic peace because of the grace of God, and we can have peace with God. Remember Romans 5 and verse 2 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have peace with God, we can have peace with our fellow men. It's the grace of God that brings us to God. And when we come to God, His grace is able to give us boundless peace in our hearts. So this is the greeting of blessing that Paul gives. Maybe you never stop to think about that verse. Sometimes it's a verse we just kind of go over and say, well, that's just the way he greeted. Well, let's think about what the words mean. What's grace mean? What's peace mean here? What does Paul mean by using those words as a greeting? Secondly, notice the giver of blessing, the giver. Again, in verse 2, it says, grace be to you and peace. Notice here, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything Paul has said so far flows from this source. Paul's calling, Paul's apostolic authority, the sainthood and the faithfulness of believers, the dual blessings of grace and peace. All of this comes through our relationship with God the Father, and it's a relationship with God that makes it is possible through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, and all the riches of God become ours in Him. We become instantly wealthy in the things of God. And here's how Paul said it in 2 Corinthians 8:9. He said, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now the source of our blessing is identified as God. Paul says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word blessed here translates a word that means to speak good of. We get our word eulogy from that word. It's the Greek word is there, and you can see it's a kind of a form of the word eulogy. Eulogetos. It's how we get our word eulogy. Where do we have a eulogy? Well, you usually have a eulogy at a funeral, and somebody says something good about somebody who died, okay? And so if you ever have heard that, you've heard a time when someone tried to speak good concerning another person. Paul is saying God is good, and how true that is. He is a good God. Genesis 14 and verse 20, Melchizedek says, and blessed be the Most High God. In Revelation 5 and verse 13, it says, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. What am I saying? I'm saying from Genesis to Revelation, God is called blessed. As one old preacher said, from kiver to kiver. Okay? From Genesis to Revelation, God is called blessed. Now, we like to say that God is good when things are going well for us. You know, when everything's going nice, we're in good health, we got money in the bank, we got things are going right, and things work. We're saying, boy, God is good, isn't he? Well, let me just remind you that he's still the same Lord when things are against you, as when you're enjoying the best life can offer. Not only is God the blessed one, Paul also tells us that he is the blesser. He says, who hath blessed? Who hath blessed us? Notice that in verse 3 there. All the blessings we enjoy in this life come to us from the hand of God above. Even when we think things are bad, God has a way of turning them out for good. God is good and demonstrates that goodness to his children by being good to them. He is blessed and he is the blesser. Now when Paul says, blessed be God, he's praising God for the blessing that he gives his children. Now this just reminds us that our God is worthy of praise all the time. Think about this. Most of the things we do in our faith, we do because we've been commanded to do them. We attend worship, we tithe, we witness, we pray. All of those things are acts of obedience. And when we take time to open our mouths to praise God, we're giving Him an offering of love. So the giver of blessing is God, and no one can outgive God Almighty. That brings us to the gift of blessing. Now here is where we must realize what we have in Christ, and we must rely on His blessed resources. Let me read verse 3 in its entirety. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Say the next two words with me. In Christ. In Christ, okay? Don't forget, that's so important. Now, the last time we spoke of recognizing that we are, as saved individuals, are called saints, we're holy, set apart, and here we must see that God has given us everything we need to live the Christian life. Let me ask you some questions. You don't have to answer them, but, maybe we can have a raise of hands. How many of you have all the patience you need? Nobody? How many of you have all the love you need? Still no hands. How many have all the wisdom you need? How many of you have all the faith you need? You say, well, I don't have all the patience I need. I don't have all the love I need. I don't have all the wisdom I need. I don't have all the faith I need. Let's look at verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with, what's the next word? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What does God say? Remember what I've said already in this study? What God says is truth. God has already blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, who's right? God or you? According to this verse, you have everything you need to live the Christian life. You have all the love you need. You have all the patience you need. You have all the faith you need. You have all the wisdom you need. You ask, well, if I have it, why don't I have it? It's because you don't understand that you have it. You do not have a conception of yourselves as having it. You do not perceive yourself as having it. Remember the elephant last week? Those of you that were here, we had an illustration of the elephant. A circus elephant is tied or chained to a little stake driven 6 inches into the ground with a rope or a chain, and he could have easily gotten loose, but he didn't believe he could get loose, and so he didn't try. We said that Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, if that elephant knew that stake was only 6 inches into the ground, but no, he'd been trained that he can pull all he wants to, and he won. Now, when he was younger, he was tied to something more substantial than 6 inches in the ground, and so he didn't perceive that he could be free. And many times we see ourselves without wisdom, we see ourselves without love, without patience, without faith, without strength, and we perceive of ourselves that way. And because we perceive of ourselves that way, that's the way we live. Now remember, we talked about this in our first study, that you have to learn who you are before you can behave how you ought to. The first comes the doctrinal. That's what the first 3 chapters are. Then comes the practical. That becomes the behavioral. That's the last 3 chapters. And after you understand who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, you see God does not ask anything of you that He hasn't already given you. 1 Chronicles 29:14 says, for all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. See the word all there again? Now who's right? God or you? Everything God demands of me, God has already given me. I hope we can understand that. We can come to grips with that. You see, God doesn't ask me to manufacture anything. It's already mine in Christ. According to verse 3 here, God has already blessed me with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, some would say, well, that's in heavenly places. That means that's going to be someday in the future. No, he's talking about right now. Someone has called heaven the storehouse of blessing. And that does not mean we have to wait until we get to heaven to receive them. Remember that these blessings, these are spiritual blessings. They are supernatural in nature. And when we get saved, the moment we get saved, we become citizens of heaven. We're no longer citizens of this earth. We're citizens of heaven, right? We live here, but we live there. We are passing through this world, but we do not belong to this world. Our hearts are no longer here. Our desires are no longer here. Our actions are no longer the actions of this world. You see, in Christ, we are wealthy beyond belief. And we just need to realize what we have been given. Now, let me ask you again. How many of you have all the love you need? Oh, we got a few hands this time, didn't we? How many of you have all the patience you need? Good. You say, well, that doesn't seem right. Just doesn't seem right. You know why it doesn't seem right? It's because of that stake stuck in the ground. And you're pulling against that stake, and you think, well, that stake's going to hold me back. That stake is 6 inches deep is how the devil's got you chained. Because that's the hangover that you have from the old life when you were chained and before you could be set free in the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, truth is believing what God says. And it's important to believe what God says, more important to believe what God says than what you think. When you understand what God says, when you understand the truth will set you free. Now I'm saying you must recognize your righteousness in God's sight. You are a saint. God has imputed righteousness to you, and you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Peter said the same thing. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. What has he given us? All things. A-L-L. All. All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And so today I just wanted you to, I want to emphasize what a wonderful blessing we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, what God says is truth. He says you're a saint. He said you're to be a faithful part of this local church. And as we are saints and faithful parts of a local church, we've been granted peace, grace and peace and all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. If you're not saved, there's still truth about you, about what God says about you. Romans 3:23 said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, he says, the wages of sin is death. That's what God says about a person who's not saved. Romans 10:13, he also says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those are things that God says about an unbeliever. And so you must trust Jesus Christ, and you can too can know the riches of love in Christ Jesus. The treasures of earth are not mine. I hold not its silver and gold, but a treasure far greater is mine. I have riches of value untold. Oh, the depths of the riches of love, the riches of love in Christ Jesus, far better than gold or wealth untold, are the riches of love in Christ Jesus. Why, if we just get a hold of that and know what we've been given, I think it'd make all the difference in our lives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do pray that this simple truth given to us here in just the beginning verses of this book will get a hold of our hearts this afternoon and help us, Lord, to realize what we have been given in Christ Jesus. It's not the wealth of this world. It's not houses and lands and possessions, but it's spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And may that make a difference as we go out from this place into our week ahead. And we pray, Lord, that you'll continue to bless us. We already have these things, but Lord, help us to just trust you for what you've said. Because this is your word. Truth is what you say. And this you have said to us this afternoon in this passage of Scripture. Bless our hearts with it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.